News Radio 1180 WHAM proudly welcomes you to Soundbites. This is America's longest-running computer show. Call the show now, 222-1180. The Choice One toll-free line, 1-800-295-1180. Or star 1180, a free call for Verizon Wireless subscribers. Now, here's Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray on News Radio 1180 WHAM.
Good morning, Mr. and Mrs. America and all the chips in the PC. It is Sunday, the 14th of November, Anno Domini 2004, and you lucky people, you're listening to Soundbites. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
I'm Rob Linton.
And we'll be bringing you news, views, stuff you can use, all the coolest things that exist for your computer. I think we're going to have a little fun today. I don't know. It might happen. You never know. We're going to start with the news, and we'll probably start with Steve because Dave's writing his biography. I don't know quite what he thinks.
Well, it's an interesting range of news this week. One of the big things for the gaming world is that Doom 3 is coming to the Mac. We had a big gaming party yesterday, and a lot of people were talking about it a little bit. And one of the problems is that the publisher, Asper, is saying you're going to need a G5. It's going to require a G5 to play Doom 3. Games have always been one of the types of programs that really pushes computer development. Yeah. And we need those extra frames. We need to see the bullets ricochet off the wall. We need to see this and that and the other thing. So it's really upsetting some of the hardcore gamers that now have to upgrade their machines again, like they didn't already. So we'll see how that happens.
They upgrade every 3 hours. Are you kidding?
Get that latest new video card. In Apple news, Apple released a system update this week, 10.3.6. And for some weird reason, the press release talks about post-election Friday afternoon with little fanfare. Apparently, everyone was all fanfared out from the election. And one of the things that the people are complaining about is very little documentation. There are 22 changes affecting 1,200 files in 1,000 different directories. But the change says...
Sounds like any small Windows update.
Right, and the change says increased reliability or increased stability.
Yeah. Yeah, sounds like any one of 1,000 Microsoft updates.
So the developers want to want more detail on what it's doing and how it might affect their program. So it's kind of interesting. They also had some interesting approval this week from the Digital Video Broadcasting Steering Board, the DVB, who are working on the technologies and standards for the next generation of video players. HD, right now the big fight is between Sony's Blu-ray 27-gigabyte DVD player and Toshiba's HD DVD, 20-gigabyte next-generation DVD player. So they're all fighting about who's going to get the codec, the compressor-decompressor. The better your compressor is, the more data you can fit on the disc at a higher quality.
Right.
So this new revision of the guideline, they're using H.264, the advanced video codec, and the high-efficiency AAC audio codec. AAC being the advanced audio codec built by Dolby Labs and used by Apple on their music store. So everything is going to sound better, look better. Unfortunately, at the moment, a Blu-ray DVD player is $3,000 in Japan. So
yeah, but that's just money.
That's just money, yeah.
It'll be $58 at CompUSA.
Right. So the bleeding edge doesn't talk about technology. It talks about your wallet. And finally, there was some really, really interesting, really geeky news. The iPod Photo that came out a couple of weeks ago.
Do not remind me, thank you.
Sorry. Stores photos. See, you need to upgrade. Stores photos.
You can't explain that one to the wife. Yeah. You just got this one.
Yeah. So it stores photos on your iPod as well as music and contacts and notes and appointments and whatnot. And a lot of people were expecting a video player from iPod, similar to like one of the Arcos media players. But there's a big legal issue in decoding a DVD. You cannot copy a DVD to another format. You can only watch it on your DVD player. And the DVD codecs are built in licensing is built into the player. So there's a bunch of legal issues involved. But that hasn't stopped a couple of people from realizing that a movie is just a series of still photos played really fast.
Right.
So they took the Star Wars Episode 3 teaser trailer, split it out frame by frame, loaded it into the iPod as a slideshow, and then have movies on their iPod. The problem they ran into is that the slideshow feature in the iPod, the minimum delay is 2 seconds.
That makes for a heck of a slow film.
But you have a manual advance. So there's this video on the internet of a guy spinning the wheel. And if you spin the wheel at 15 frames per second, 15, 20 frames per second, it works fine.
You know, back in the very early days of making movies, the movie cameras had a crank. And you hand cranked the film. And the people who were most valuable as cameramen were the ones who could
crank it
at a steady rate
speed,
of whatever it was, 18 frames a minute in those days, or 20 frames a minute.
It was an art.
Yeah.
It was an art. And you tell me we're back.
We're back.
Full circle to 1893.
A bunch of really techie geeks trying to make a device do something that it wasn't designed to do.
Unbelievable. That's very funny.
And pretty fun. And I'll have a link up on the link list pretty soon. But it's kind of neat. And part of a slideshow feature is a music soundtrack behind your slideshow. So they split the audio of the trailer and have the audio playing as the soundtrack. So it's really cute. And you can see they speed up and slow down the click wheel to sort of match where they are in the audio track. And it's pretty funny.
Bed out of sync Chinese movie.
And, of course, then when sound first came in, you had the sound on a record, and there was a point that you put the needle down.
Yep.
And I'm just astounded. I'm quite astounded. Back to the Future. Unbelievable.
Hi.
Tired of the 21st century? Tired of the 20th century? Feel free to go back to the 19th century with the new iPod photo from Apple. I love this. All right. Now all the Mac fanatics, you're making fun of our Macintosh. We're not happy. go ahead.
Well, the iPod actually has a huge Windows following, too.
Yes, it does.
Including you.
Yeah. Including me. Go ahead, Dave.
Okay. Gateway is now coming out with what they call a new BTX. BTX stands for Balanced Technology Extended. And basically what it is, for you folks out there, is the new Pentium 4s give off one heck of a lot of heat. These are all in usually mid-tower cases. You've got folks putting in, you know, usually double CD-ROM drives. It's not uncommon to also have two hard drives in there. So you're really taking up a lot of space, and these newer, faster drives, along with the faster chips, and, say, like a 128 or a 256 meg video card in there. I mean, you've got a lot of things that are causing a lot of heat. Well, they've come up with a new design to do away with this ATX design. And make it so the air will flow a lot smoother and cooler, cooling on the actual whole system. They're putting a larger fan both on the front and in the back. Standard cases right now, when even I get them, don't come usually with front and rear fans. They're relying on this huge heat sink. If you've ever taken off the case, you know, side and just look, there's usually an enormous heat sink sitting on top of that, blowing air, and, you know, that does all right for the CPU, but to get the airflow going more for the actual motherboard, this new design should help keep that not only cool now, but into the future.
That's kind of opposite the way Apple went with their G5. They added more fans. There's 9 fans running in the PowerMac G5, but they're smaller, and they're so they can run slower and therefore quieter, and they're more targeted at the areas they need to cool.
Right. Well, there's also now a new Trojan sending spam. Right now, it's only in Russia, but they're really fearful that these script kiddies are going to get a hold of it because they share, you know, communities worldwide, folks, called the World Wide Web. And basically what it does is it gets onto a PC and then starts calling cell phones. So that could eat up your minutes in no time and be a lot of junk. One other quick thing is there's another My Doom worm that exploits a flaw in IE. Another good reason not to use Internet Explorer, because it just, you know, is open to a lot of stuff.
Okay, back with more news in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Rob Linton, and Mina Francesco on Soundbites on 1180 WHAM.
That you can understand. Now back to Soundbites with Nick, Dave, and Steve on News Radio 1180 WHAM.
Welcome back. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
I'm Rob Linton.
And
I got one other thing.
Oh, he's got one other thing?
Yeah, I found this little utility. I was debating whether to put it on our website of the week or whatever, but I figured, no, this is something in the news. And you know, since Windows 98 and that, the one function that we've lost is the print screen capability.
Right.
You know, when you hit the print screen, it doesn't go to the printer. What you got to do is actually do it. It captures it, and then you got to cut and paste and put it into, you know, usually if it's got a graphic in it, it's got to go to a paint program, or if it's got a Word, net, you got to paste it into a Word document. Well, there's a great little program called Print Screen, and I'll have maybe Steve later on can put up this URL. It's free, and it does just what it says. Print screen. It's free, and you can literally click on, by running this utility, print what's on the screen. And right now, for you folks, if you want to go check it out, though, it's at www.pcworld.com/downloads/file/description/0. It's too long, but...
Too long.
Yeah,
Steve will put it up
there, and we'll put it up
the
there, but it's a great free utility. I think we should check it out.
I think you should. This week in the news for Microsoft, well, actually, let's start with Firefox. Firefox has finally turned one. Happy birthday, dear Firefox. 19 months of development, 2 name changes, more than 8 million downloads of its preview release. Firefox is 1 year old. The browser, which is based on Mozilla Foundation's open source development work, was made available for free download early on Tuesday. It's not significantly different from the preview releases launched in recent months. Email or somewhere else, it'll open it as a tab in the current browser as opposed to starting up a whole new
thing.
So that's kind of nice.
That, by us recommending that, even my technician, Dan, who has been a faithful IE, wound up trying it out, loves it. Been recommending it left and right for other folks, getting them off IE.
Yeah. And it's time to get off IE. Why? Well, a couple of reasons. Let's start with the Microsoft flaw of the week. Well, actually, there's a couple. Service Pack, Windows XP Service Pack 2, touted as the fix for millions of flaws, apparently has a few flaws of its own. I mean 10. There's a company called Fingen Software. It's a security firm. And they have found 10 serious flaws in Service Pack 2. According to the folks at Fingen, some of the vulnerabilities could be exploited by hackers to gain complete control of a system or to download malicious code to a compromised computer. Fingen notified Microsoft of the vulnerabilities and has shared all relevant technical details with the company. Per its usual policy, Fingen has no plans to go public with details of the flaws until Microsoft has patches available to them. A Microsoft spokeswoman said the company is aware of the claims by Fingen and is looking into them. Okay. That's all they said about it. They're looking into them. Microsoft Internet Explorer flaw of the week. There's a new pop-up. There is a pop-up method built into it. Unfortunately, it can create Chromeless windows. Now, what's a Chromeless window? No decorations. It appears on top of all other windows, can be placed anywhere on the screen, doesn't appear in the taskbar, can't be given the focus. What does that mean? Well, it means that Chromeless windows can appear anywhere on the screen. They could look like part of the Windows graphical user interface. For example, they could cover up the IE address bar, giving you a fake address to look at, the IE scroll bar, hiding stuff at the bottom of the page, the padlock icon that says you're on a secure site, it could fake that, so you're not, but it looks like you are, could change the start menu, the system tray, all kinds of stuff. It's a pretty big problem, and there's no fix yet. There is a fix that's being recommended by people. It's called, let me find it here. Oh, yeah, Firefox! Halo 2 is out for all you true game fanatics.
I need a weapon.
Yeah, I need a weapon. Microsoft is deriving a lot of benefit from Halo 2, not just the fact that, you know, it's out there and they're... And the, like thousands, millions of gamers are spending $50 a piece for the game. It had lines outside it like it was a Star Wars episode or something. However, the software giant is using the game to crack down on the use of modified Xbox consoles. Hundreds of Xbox owners have reported in online forums in recent days that they were banned from Xbox Live, which is Microsoft's online gaming service, after trying to play Halo 2 online with a modified console.
You're talking about upgrading earlier. You take your Xbox, put a new video card in it, put a new processor in it, just make it run even better.
Then you can't play Halo 2.
Yeah.
Universal Music, which is a music company, is kicking off an online experiment with interactive music videos. As the band members jump around on the stage, you can click on them to get a singer's, and they'll take you to a website where you can buy a T-shirt or concert tickets or something. How cool is that? And Novell is suing Microsoft for killing off WordPerfect. They claim that the company used anti-competitive tactics in the desktop software market during the 1990s.
They just noticed?
Yeah. Novell charges that Microsoft withheld critical technical information about Windows from Novell, which Novell says hampered its ability to create competitive versions of the product. They also contend that Microsoft deliberately excluded WordPerfect from the market.
But WordPerfect, though, is used, and this could be their problem, very heavily by lawyers.
And still is to this
WordPerfect
day.
WordPerfect 5.
Yeah, right, exactly.
So upgrade.
It just works.
But they even have a version in WordPerfect
specifically
for lawyers that have all the templates. And, I mean, there you're going to have
absolutely.
One.
Listen, we're going to take a break. Back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Rob Linton, Mina Francesco, and each and every one of you on Soundbites on 1180 WHAM.
Where would you rather make note of the following rules? 1. Turn your radio down. 2. Turn your radio down lower. 3. Remember, nobody has invented a good-sounding speakerphone yet. Don't use them. 4. Make sure you have a point. It makes for a more interesting show. 5. Calling does not guarantee you'll get on the air. No whining. 6. If you do get on the air, please do not tell the host what you just told the screener. We don't care. And 7. Is that radio turned down yet? We hope this will make for a more enjoyable program, and we thank you for your time.
Welcome back.
That is so cool.
Words to live by. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
I'm Rob Linton.
And this is Soundbites. We're going to go to the phones now, and we're going to talk to Vito from Chilai. Welcome, Vito. What's your question?
Oh, thanks for taking my call. You guys are great.
Thanks.
And hope you can help me out this time. I have a question about Zone Alarm. I was trying to upgrade to the newest version, 5.5.062. I turned off my True Vector so that Zone Alarm wouldn't go on and start up. Turned off Virus Scan, which is what I always do. And when I was attempting to do the install, I got validation failed. Program file /zonelab/zonealarm.dclient.exe was the error. So I reasoned that my download might have been defective.
Yep.
So I uninstalled it, added and removed programs, and I said, okay, I'll put the old version back, which was Zone Alarm 4.5.5.38. And they came up with a required DLL file was missing. So it's SSLEAY32.DLL.
Yeah, yeah, okay.
So I imported that from a backup copy of my C drive. And it gave me the user information, you know, the sign-on sheet, and it started to go into the install, and it just stopped and didn't lock the computer, but it just stopped. So I'm dusted. And what can I do at this point?
It definitely sounds like you had a bad download of the latest version. There's no question of that.
And it probably didn't remove all the DLLs it put in, so now the old version's new DLL, you're seeing new
still
DLLs,
there.
It's wrong, yeah.
What it sounds like you're going to have to do is a little bit of detective work. You currently have the new version installed, right?
No, I couldn't
the
get
old version.
I mean,
no, I couldn't get the old one installed either.
Yeah, you got to kind of half, you're in a halfway point.
Yeah, I got to hack something.
There's probably a manual remove instruction on Zone Lab's site. I'm trying to find it offhand.
Right, that's what we're looking for
or
right
like
now.
A removal tool, because otherwise it requires you going into the registry doing a search on Zone Alarm and, in, you know, manually deleting all the keys, even though you uninstall, and I don't care, this is with any program. You know, it might delete the icons off the desktop and that. Quite often, if you go into Windows Explorer and look into the Programs folder, you're going to still see the Zone Alarm folder there. So you got to manually delete that.
Yeah, a lot of times at the end of the remove, you'll see a message about some items couldn't be removed. You have to manually remove them. Tell me what they are so I can.
Right. Wouldn't that be nice? And also under common programs or common applets, it's quite often in there also. You got to delete the reference there. But the biggest thing is the countless number of entries that will be still in the registry referencing both the old and the new version of Zone Alarm. Now, they might tell you, you know, through their site where to go and, you know, how to go into the registry, backing it up, and carefully going through and deleting all the references that they say to get rid of it.
Right.
So you might want to check that out and see if that helps you, okay? Let us know.
Let us know. Thanks. Our next caller is Linda from Greece. Welcome, Linda. What's your question?
Hi, guys. How are you?
Peachy, how are you?
I haven't talked to you in a long time.
It's been bleak for us, too, Linda.
Yeah, I've got a question. I am using Firefox.
Yeah.
Okay? I love it. There's only one problem I have. Certain sites, like I'm in CNET Review because I like that site, I can't scroll to the left. I can only scroll to the right, so it only gives me half the column. How do I correct that?
What resolution are you running in?
Say that again?
What resolution? 800 by 600?
They start on the left-hand side.
So the scroll box is stuck in the middle of the scroll bar and won't let you go any farther left?
On CNET, there's something not right with their with their scripting and with their HTML code. I have found that about half the time when I want to read an article, it's down below. There's a column of stuff on the left.
Mm-hmm.
And nothing next to that, but if you scroll way down, there's the article.
Yeah, because there's an article now, it says IE versus Firefox.
You okay.
Know, I wanted to read it. I can get all the advertisements on the right, but when I bring that scroll bar all the way to the left,
right,
part of the column, and your question is I'm running 800 by 600 pixels.
Good. You try scrolling down. I believe what you're seeing is that it's down farther. It's way down. It looks like there's nothing there, but if you keep going down, you'll find it eventually. Give that a try and call us back. Let us know. We'll be back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Rob Linton, Nina Francesco, and all of you on Soundbites on 1180 WHAM. All right, listen, you've heard us talk a lot about Zone Alarm in the past. It's part of our Security Tango. It's a great standalone product, but what you may not know is that the folks at Zone Alarm have a whole security suite. You can find it at StopHackersNow.com. One easy-to-use program that protects you with a firewall, antivirus, ID lock, website filtering, and email and instant messaging protection. If you've got kids, you know how important instant messaging protection is. You can encrypt the instant messages so chatroom stalkers can't even read them. You can block offensive content from your children. There's an ID vault so you can keep all your password and financial information safe and sound by locking it up in that vault. You block viruses and worms. You stop hackers from stealing your passwords. If you've got a family or if you value your online privacy, visit StopHackersNow.com. Select Nick from the drop-down menu. It's a $40 package. You get it for $30 off. It's a $70 package. You get it for $30 off. $39.95. Stop.
America's Money Show. Money Talk with Bob Brinker. Saturdays and Sundays at 4 on News Radio 1180 WHAM. From PCs to Macs, these guys can answer your questions. Back to more Sound Bites on News Radio 1180 WHAM.
Welcome back. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
I'm Rob Linton.
And this indeed is Sound Bites. Now, before we go back to the phone, every week we like to have a little trivia question. This week, the prize in that trivia will be a copy of the very Zone Alarm Security Suite I just talked about. Isn't that great? You get that whole thing. You don't even have to. So instead of saving $30, you save the whole $70. It's going to, instead of having to go to StopHackersNow.com, all you have to do is answer a question. And that question is, as you know, everything on the screen has a unit of measure. It can be inches, it could be pixels, it could be whatever it is. The question of the week. Write down your answer in the form of an answer, not of a question, because I'm giving you the question. All you have to give me is the answer. What is the unit of measure for your computer mouse? That's pretty simple.
Good,
there's a unit of measure for computer mice. I just need to know what it is. When you tell me what it is, why, you get your very own copy of the Zone Alarm Security Suite. I don't know if it gets any better than that. We're going to go back to the phones now, and we're going to talk to Tim from Buffalo, New York. Welcome, Tim. What's your question?
Hi, guys. Great show.
Thank you.
Are you actually listening to us?
Oh, yeah.
Cool.
All right.
problem here. Description of the problem. Put in DSL and hook up the two computers, put in a Linksys wireless G broadband router.
Yep.
One that's hardwired to the main computer,
mm-hmm.
and a wireless link to a computer in a second room
mm-hmm.
through a Linksys USB wireless adapter.
Right.
Both computers see the internet, no problem.
Mm-hmm.
They can't see each other. You've tried endless hours of reading and trying different things. And
now you set up sharing?
Yeah, you have to turn sharing on one or both computers, and you have to tell it what folder to share.
And they also have to be of the same work group name.
Got that. Work group name, individual, you know, they just...
Have you tried pinging one machine from the other?
And if you go into command and ping, they ping each other, no problem.
You set up the sharing, though?
Where?
Sharing is enabled.
In other words, if you click on my computer, and if under my computer, you should see, say, like on the C drive, if you want to share that whole C drive, you would see a pair of hands.
Yeah, I did. I actually did highlight the whole C drive on secondary computer, and there's a shared folder on the main computer.
Okay.
Underneath the whole file.
Right. When you look at the IP addresses of both of these machines, are they all the same except for the last number?
Yes.
192.
The one is like 0. Let's see.
192.1,
and the other one's like, oh.
No, I mean the last dot number. So it's 192.168.10.something, and the other one would be 192.168.10.something else.
It shouldn't be.
The point being that in some routers, you can set them up so that the wireless network is different from the wired network, because that makes the wired network more secure, since wireless is inherently less secure.
So
if they are set up that way, you'll never bridge between them. They have to be on the same subnet.
How do I check that?
Go into a command prompt and type ipconfig.
Right, on both machines, ipconfig will give you the IP address of both machines. If they are different, what you need to do is go into the administration section of the router and make sure that it has put both of the networks, that the two ways of connecting to it are on the same network.
Two other issues. You said you're using a USB wireless adapter?
Yes.
It's much better to use Ethernet for wireless and file sharing. So you're going to have to go into your file sharing properties and make sure that file sharing is bound to the USB,
right.
which it isn't ordinarily. And the second...
It isn't.
What?
No.
Right. File sharing is only bound to Ethernet.
One question. What operating system are on both of you?
Oh, please. I knew you were going to ask. XP on the main and ME on the...
Okay. Well, another thing you can try...
Take Dave's mic away. And
a lot of times,
part of the problem, too.
A lot of times browsing doesn't work. You can't browse the...
I rest my case.
So when you go to network neighborhood, it doesn't see the other computer. The way around that is to go to start, run, type /\, and the IP address of the other computer. And then it doesn't...
And then another /, and the share
and
name.
The share name. Well, if you don't put the share name, it may ask you which folder you want.
It may.
That tells Windows to connect through the IP network without trying to browse, which browsing may not be working.
Okay, I think the IP addresses were different, because when we pinged each other, we had to,
See, you need to go into the thing. You're going to need to do all of that stuff, because if one is ME and the other isn't, that's definitely a problem. So you can't browse, but you can set it up. But you are going to have to go in and change that router to tell it that both...
Or upgrade the OS to Windows
well,
XP.
Even so, we still got to make sure they're on the same network.
Oh, yeah.
We're going to
yeah.
take a quick break, but we'll be back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Rob Linton, me, Nick Francesco, and each and every one of you and all of your phone calls. So stay on the line on Soundbites on 1180 WHAM.
Once again, the readers of the Democratic... Answering your computer questions for over 15 years. It's Soundbites with Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray on News Radio 1180 WHAM.
Welcome back. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
I'm Rob Linton.
And this is indeed 15 years worth of Soundbites. Well, not all at once. This is one piece of 15. I didn't mean to imply that we were just going to compress the whole thing down into one-second burst and send it to you, although I suspect we could.
We could.
But we won't. Instead, we'll just stick with what we're doing now, which is, like, live, real-time, unless, of course,
we're having fun.
Time-shifted us via the web to Soundbites. Before we get back to the phones, though, let me remind you that we have a trivia question of the day. And if you answer this trivia question right, you get a free, great copy of the Zone Alarm Security Suite.
$70 savings.
$70 product. You get it for free. Don't even have to go to the website.
Doesn't get better than that.
It does not. And the question is, as you know, everything on the screen has a unit of measurement, whether it's in pixels or inches or whatever. And the question is, what is the unit of measure for your computer mouse, for the movement of your computer mouse? If you can answer that question, you too will get a free copy of Zone Alarm. And we're going to go back to the phones. And we're going to talk to Matt from Palmyra, New York. Welcome, Matt. What's your question?
Well, actually, I want to take a shot at the trivia.
Do you?
I do.
Do you think we're going to let you?
I hope so.
Okay, let's do it. What's the answer?
It's a Mickey.
You are exactly correct.
Very good.
That's right. The unit of measure for the mouse is a Mickey. That is possibly my favorite unit of measure in the entire world. Do not hang up, Matt. The magnificent Rob Linton... We'll take your inflammation, and we can then send it
inflammation?
To...
Inflammation?
We can then send it to the folks at Zone Alarm, and they will get you what you need for your own free copy of the Zone Alarm Security Suite. And let me tell you right up front, you are going to love this piece of software. You're absolutely going to love it. Thanks. Do you have a question for us?
No, it's just a trivia.
Excellent. Congratulations. We have a winner. I'm just writing that in here. We have a winner for the trivia, Matt from Palmyra, New York, getting his very own free copy of the Zone Alarm Security Suite. We're all pleased and delighted to say that Mr. Matt is going to be happy.
Very happy camper.
He's going to be very happy camper. He's going to get the web filtering and the ID lock and the email and instant message protection firewall. He's going to get it all, antivirus. It's going to be all there for him. Oh, and all he had to do was say the word Mickey on the air.
What's the definition of a Mickey?
It's a...
M-I-C-K-E-Y.
M-O-U-S-E. I got to tell you a story. Okay, I got to tell you a story. I'm sorry, it's too late. I'm already started telling the story. years ago, I took my family to Walt Disney World.
I remember that.
And that was at the time when my knee was even worse than it is now, which is hard to believe. So I got one of those... You rent carts, electric carts, to drive around in. And I spent the entire time we were there.
You got a speeding ticket.
No, I did not get a speeding ticket. But at one point, I was sitting in the shade waiting for my, you know, they have meet the character things. Mm-hmm. My daughter was meeting characters and getting autographs, and my wife was standing with her, and I was sitting in the shade. All of a sudden, I look over, and I realize there's like 100 people staring at me. A whole group of people just staring at me.
Well, it was those Mickey Mouse ears you probably
No. And all of a sudden, the hat was lifted off my head from behind. I turn around, there's Goofy. He put my hat on his head, and he lifted up his arms like a conductor until everybody was watching him. Now, these carts, these little electric wheel things, have a buzzer on them. So it goes, eh. Okay.
Get out of the way. Get out of the way.
Yeah, like anybody cared. You needed a baseball bat to get around. But he got everybody's attention, waited till there was dead silence. Reached over and went, lifted up his arms, and 100 people all went, M-I-C. And he did it again, and they all went, K-E. And then all together, M-O-U. It was a moment like you wouldn't believe it. 100 total strangers
and nobody
sharing
got
a childhood experience. No, it's amazing.
Bummer.
What, nobody got what?
The picture of you with Goofy.
Nobody got the picture. No, I had, no, my wife had the camera with Amelia. But it's 100 total strangers sharing a moment for the... We were all choked up. People were laughing and crying and hushing. It was very cool. Shut up. It was very cool. Shut up. You're a puppy, and you don't know any better.
Yeah.
You don't know any better.
He doesn't remember a net.
That's and how can you not remember net? There's an entire generation, including me, who reached puberty with Annette Funicello, all at the same time. It's like in concert. All right, we're going to go back to the phones now, and we're going to talk to Carol from Greece, New York. Welcome, Carol. What's your question?
Hello. I have a question about the new Firefox version.
Sure.
I've been using that preview version for maybe a couple of months.
Right.
Now, can I just download this new version and install it right on top of the old one?
Or absolutely.
You got it.
Okay. Will it save all my bookmarks and settings and all that stuff?
Every single one of them.
Okay. Now, you mentioned a new feature of it earlier in the show. I didn't quite understand it. I thought it had something to do with email.
Well, no. What it has to do with is any place where you can click a link.
Yes.
You can. That's not in the Firefox browser.
Mm-hmm.
You can say in the Firefox browser, you can say, oh, if there's an external link like that, instead of opening a new window, open a new tab.
Oh, okay.
So
tabs
it's cool. I love tabs. Listen, we're going to take a quick break, but we're going to be back again after the other side of the news. On the other side of the news, Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Rob Linton, the puppy, me, Nick Francesco, and all of you on Soundbites on 1180 WHAM.
If you're ready,
welcome back to America's longest-running computer show, Soundbites, on News Radio 1180 WHAM. Get online now. Call 222-1180. The Choice One toll-free line at 1-800-295-1180 or *1180. A free call for Verizon Wireless subscribers. Once again, here's Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray on News Radio 1180 WHAM.
Welcome back. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
I'm Rob Linton.
And this is Soundbite. That's kind of become a part of our thing now.
Yeah.
Before we get back to the phone, so if you're on the line, please hold on. We're going to talk a little bit about what goes on our website at soundbites.org. That's bites with a Y, Francis would like us to remind you. We have quite a number of fascinating things going on. Every week we have a poll of the week. This week's poll was, how often do you use... Is that what it is? Yes. How often do you... apparently, I just need better drugs. How often do you back up? That was the poll.
Depends on how much fiber I get.
That was the poll of the week.
Or you don't have, actually.
314 of you voted. Thank each and every one of you, putting it at number 71 on our list. 35% of you, or 111 votes, or for you Lord of the Rings fans, 11-1 votes. Said, backup, I'm going commando. No backups.
I love
to hear that.
You got it.
Because eventually they will be in your store saying,
can you get this back? And it's going, or doing nothing. Usually, you know, it's dead. That can't even get it to spin up. And then forget it. You got to send it off to a clean room. In fact, I had one client went out and sent a drive out to get data back. Cost them over $1,500.
Yep.
Didn't get anything out of it.
Yep.
Because they couldn't. The data was so scattered from the head crash.
Yep.
It totally destroyed it.
Yeah, well, and what do you do? And all
bucks.
He had to do was back it up regularly.
Bingo.
That's all it took. The choices were once a day, once a week, once a month, once I'm reminded, thanks, and backup, I'm going commando. Backup, I'm going commando was in first place. Once I'm reminded, thanks. Not like we don't remind you every week on the show. Right. Followed by once a month, once a week, once a day, and once. This week's poll. I have to talk about this for a minute. I've recently gotten interested in a new phenomenon. There was, you know, originally you got to put up websites, and then people got to be in forums and stuff, and then blogging became a big thing.
Yeah.
There's something new called podcasting.
Well, you should even explain blogging a little bit.
Well, blogging is a web log. It's essentially an online diary. You write a diary online, and other people can go read it. They can also get something called an RSS feed, which is a syndication of the
blog.
Various daily entries, and you can get an RSS reader, and you click on one, and there it is. And you can get those readers will read blogs and news items and all kinds of stuff.
You got to stay in touch.
Right. And the newest one is podcasting. People create an audio feed, an MP3, and make it available for either download or through an RSS feed, which you can then put on your iPod and or whatever media, or even just listen to it on your computer, and listen to it whenever you want. And people are using it for diary things, and they're doing all sorts of stuff. And, in fact, I even created a feed for sound bites. I just started that. I'm only playing with it. It's not really ready for prime time yet. And I don't know how useful that's going to be since everybody just goes and downloads it anyway, but certainly can't hurt to make it available. But my question then, that led me to the more general question as opposed to just talking about podcasting. I even thought about doing my own podcast, but I don't think I'm interested. I don't think people are going to want to listen every day to what I have to say. I don't know. Anyway, we have the more general question of how often do you listen to radio shows via your computer? And the choices I put up are daily, a few times a week, only to sound bites, rarely, and constantly, you insensitive clot. I've already got one person who's upset because they didn't put never as a choice. You know what, you whiner? Get over it, because I can only pick a few choices.
Yeah.
I can't say, like, once a day except on Tuesdays, every fourth Wednesday, twice a month at the full moon. I don't care. I just put up a few. Get over it. It's not a scientific poll. Nobody's going to, anybody who actually...
Yeah, Nielsen isn't going to do any ratings on this.
Right. If you actually attempted to use this for anything real, you're a moron to begin with, and nobody would do that. And so it doesn't matter if I missed a couple here and there.
The president's weekly radio address is available.
Yes, it is.
Podcasting.
Yep, so, through podcasting.
So there's some real content available, not just you know, people's ramblings.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Although that might be.
I knew that was coming next. So we've got 91 votes so far. And rarely seems to be had, followed by a few times a week. So please go over to our website, soundbites.org. Again, that's bites with a Y. Francis would like me to remind you. And vote in our poll. Once you're done voting in our poll, please take a look at the yellow box underneath the poll, and you'll see a link to my website, asknick.com. That's asknick.com. That's asknick.com. .com closer and you can then leave an opinion, fewer than 256 characters, but an opinion on what that's all about. Once you've done that, please feel free to take a look around my website. I think I've got some pretty neat stuff up there too, but lots of people have left stuff, and actually quite a bit of it is shockingly, this is the one so far that has the highest preponderance of posts that actually relate to the question. That doesn't happen very often with us. It just seems to happen
nice
this time.
It's refreshing.
It's refreshing to see. So please vote in a poll. Once you're done voting in the poll and you're done on my website, asknick.com. Oh, he wasn't ready. Come back to... thank you very much. I come back to soundbites.org. And please check out our forums. We have some of the coolest people on earth posting in our forums, and it's a very neat place, and lots of great information and lots of fun happens there. And now that the election is over, maybe the flame content will lower quietly again.
Stupidest thing I read in the news the other day.
Oh, you haven't been paying attention then.
Not too much. The candidates are gearing up for the 08 election.
Oh, yes, they are. It starts the day after the 04 election. But please do all that. There's some great stuff there, and you can see Dave's tip of the week, and you can take a look at all kinds of wonderful stuff, our logos and our posters, which are done by the greatest artists I've
folks
ever seen
out there,
and the secretly recorded calls and all kinds of neat stuff. So check it out. There's a lot of amazing stuff out there. We're going to go back to the phones now, and we're going to talk to Tom from Rochester, New York. Welcome, Tom. What's your question?
Hey, thanks for taking my call, guys.
Thank you for calling.
Show.
Thanks.
I learned a lot.
Thanks.
I've got a couple-year-old PC that my kids use, and you can imagine with the game sites and music sites they go to that it's pretty corrupt, and I've decided to upgrade to Windows XP.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
And when I did, I figured somehow I got to wipe all the stuff off of the partition that the operating system's on.
Yes, you do.
So as I do that install, it gives me that option. And when I tell it I want to do it, I get to a point where it says, we can't complete this because it's got files on it that we need to do the install. So I'm so I continued with the install, and I got XP on it. And when I look at the control panel, there are no programs anymore on that. You know, it doesn't recognize any programs. But if I look at my file structure, I have lots of folders from the old programs, and all that stuff is still there, but obviously XP doesn't know they're there.
Right, because, now, did you do an upgrade or a clean install?
It was an upgrade, but they let you do a new installation option.
Right, that just gives you a new Windows and doesn't erase the old stuff.
The old
stuff.
Windows,
you
have, the old ones are still there.
You have to erase the old stuff first.
So what do I want to do then to get, I've tried to,
Are you booting from the Windows CD?
Yeah.
There should be an option as to which partition you want to put it on.
Right.
And you delete the partition that's there, which erases all the stuff, and then make a new partition.
Okay, I tried to do that, and it wouldn't do it, and said it had files on it that it needed for the setup.
Then it sounds like it wasn't booted from the CD completely. That's weird.
So maybe it was booted. So, I went into the BIOS, and I said boot from the CD first.
Yeah.
And then I said boot from one of the other hard drives second.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought it was booting from the CD.
Yeah,
and
it should.
It should go straight to the install without launching
your
desktop.
There's one thing, though. No. When you're booting from the CD, you'll see a black screen come up, and usually up at the top it says press any key to hit from the CD. If you don't hit any key, it goes defaulting back into the original.
Okay,
so you got to look for when it's booting up, it'll say press any key to boot from the CD.
All righty. Thanks. Our next caller.
A lot of people miss that because it flashes up there. It's only like 5 seconds, and then it goes away, and then it goes booting to the hard drive.
Yep. So be careful. Read and do.
Usually people don't want to erase their hard drive, and we're telling them, make sure you read every screen and make sure the one that says erase, answer no.
Well, the thing we're finding with Service Pack 2 is that if there's anything that's not 100% kosher on your machine in terms of a clean registry, you're going to have problems.
Or updated drivers.
Updated drivers as well. So if you do a fresh, clean, brand new install of XP and then move to Service Pack 2, that's as safe as you can get. Of course, we're here today that isn't 100% safe. But it's as safe as you can get. So doing an upgrade to XP is not as good an idea as doing a clean install. And he clearly wants to do a clean install.
Unfortunately, a clean install is more work for you because then you have to reinstall all your stuff. You have to back up the data you want ahead
of
time.
You got to back up your data. You got to make sure that you've got originals of all your programs, not on the hard drive, because you're going to be reinstalling everything. Oh, yeah, it's not easy, but it's really the best option.
That's why he's not seeing all the programs either, is because when he did that install, he's got to reinstall them all.
Right, well, he's got a new registry that doesn't know about the programs that are there, even though they're still on the hard drive.
Exactly.
Our next caller, Walt from Greece. Welcome, Walt. What's your question?
Hello there, guys. Great show, as always.
Thank you.
Here's my problem. I'm running Windows 98 SE. Had an opportunity to go into Windows Explorer, and I'm seeing that there's a file called Recycled. When I open it up, I have a number of documents that begin with DC and a number, and they tend to look like dead files for our antivirus. And then when I look down further, I see some mirrors of like shortcuts, like to Firefox and a few other things. Can I safely delete
Whoa! That recycled folder?
Yes.
Is your trash can?
But I have a separate trash can too.
Yes, you do. And if you look in there, you should see all the same content.
The trash can on the icon is on the desk. Trash can icon on the desktop is a convenience for you that's pointing to this normally invisible folder.
Oh, okay. Because when I click on the other one, the icon, I seem to get other items in there.
You won't see all of that stuff because some of it is hidden and some of it's just in different format.
Yeah.
But if you empty the trash, the stuff in the recycle bin should go away.
Do you by any chance have Norton Utilities installed with Norton's protected trash can?
Oh, that may be it, because when we had problems with Norton, Internet security.
Yeah.
We had to reinstall the thing, so...
You may have gotten a second recycle bin folder.
Well, because Norton...
And Norton, right, Norton makes one itself.
That's the protected one, yeah, and versus the regular one.
Oh, so that's why it looks like the DAT files from Norton are in that recycled folder.
You got
folder.
It.
The stuff that you've deleted in the past prior to your reinstallation.
Right, yep.
Oh, so can I get rid of that then?
Yeah.
I wouldn't get rid of the whole folder. I might get rid of the contents
of the
folder.
Content. Yeah, no, you don't want to get rid
but
of the folder.
But that recycled
the
folder may be necessary.
It.
Yeah,
it still needs it.
Okay, great.
Okay.
Well, actually, I'd move the contents of that folder into the trash can, see what happens, without actually emptying any of it yet.
Right, just to see what and then run it for a day or two before you empty it.
Yeah.
That makes the most sense. Our next caller is Jay from Rochester, New York. Welcome, Jay. What's your question?
Hi, thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I'm calling out. My dad has a Gateway computer, and it runs really slow. It has Roadrunner installed on it, and it usually takes about 10 minutes before everything is loaded up to start up.
What OS and how much memory?
Memory is 128 megabytes.
That's why it's slow.
That's why it's slow. You need more memory.
What part of it? What's the operating system?
It's a 500 SD PC.
Windows 98.
And what's the
Windows XP, I'm sorry.
That's
Windows XP.
Definitely
that's the problem.
Windows
XP
memory. Wants 512 RAM to run efficiently.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Okay.
It says 128 will work, and as you've seen, it does work. It's just
right.
really,
it's
really
my
really
analogy
slow.
To this is it's like getting on the thruway. I mean, yeah, I can...
With a bicycle.
Yeah,
right.
I can sit there and get there... But, you know, or, you know, even get on there and do 35 miles an hour.
Now, Jay, you should definitely
speed limit.
Right, you should definitely run the Security Tango to make sure that machine is clean. But I think what you're going to need in addition to that is upping the RAM to at least 512 meg. We got to take a quick break. Back in just a couple of more minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Rob Linton, and me, Nick Francesco, on Soundbites on 1180 WHAM. Hi there. You've heard us talk about Zone Alarm. It's part of the Security Tango. What you may not know is that these folks have a whole security suite. You can find it at StopHackersNow.com. Look, it's got a firewall. It's got antivirus. It's got an ID lock. It's got website filtering. It's got email and instant messaging protection. Stop hackers who are trying to steal your password. You read about it all the time in the news, people whose identity has been stolen. You can help stop that with the Zone Alarm Security Suite. You can block the viruses and worms we talk about all the time. You can filter content from your children. If you've got a family or if you value your privacy online, you owe it to yourself. Visit StopHackersNow.com. That's all one word, StopHackersNow.com. There's a drop-down menu. Select Nick Soundbites. This thing costs $69.95, and you're going to get $30 off. It's StopHackersNow.com, $39.95. It's a great product.
Online, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at soundbites.org. Now, back to Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray. On News Radio 1180, WHAM.
Welcome back. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
I'm Rob Linton.
And this is Soundbites. I was just looking up our little RSS feed for our little iPod feed. What do you got? Oh, Dave's got the
website of the week.
Well,
this one, though, I got to give you credit for.
Thank you.
You found it. It's www.woot, that's woot.com. It's basically, folks, an auction site. What they do is they find stuff that's maybe out of stock or that. Some of
it's not really an auction. They're just selling it for their price.
But the unique thing about it is there's only one item. So the item you see for that day is the item that they're selling. There's not a big variety, you know, to pick from in a particular day. There's only one item. And there's the price on it.
Today's Woot is a Dick Tracy wristwatch.
And once it's sold, that's it. So, you know, you only get so many in it.
One item a day, and when it's sold out, it's sold out.
Sold out, and you got to wait until the following day to see whatever's going to be next.
Some of these are new items. Some of them are refurbished. You got to read the information carefully.
Right. And there's no, rhyme or reason to, you know, just saying that it's all computer stuff. I mean, there's a wide variety of products and services that they offer there, and it's definitely worth checking out. And the other thing, because this is my time of year, I like the holidays, And one of the other big things I like to do, see, I come from a very big family. If you folks don't know already, my dad's one of 19 kids. I mean, I can remember growing up as a kid.
Man.
At Thanksgiving, my grandfather, God rest his soul, and grandmother would sit there and...
She needs the rest.
She's since passed on. Both of them have passed on. My grandmother, I just lost just a few years ago. But this woman, God bless her soul, every Thanksgiving, get the whole family together. That's 19 kids, or 18 kids at the time, and all of us used to have to rent a hall.
Yeah.
And my grandma would seriously start at like 3 o'clock in the morning, the day before, start getting ready to do the turkey. You're talking 10 to 12 turkeys.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's where I learned from, with my grandmother, because I was one of the oldest grandchildren, and go with her, you know, and help. To this day, with my family, I'm one of six. And I have the family over for
six? Yeah. Slackers.
Yeah.
Well, you got a TV.
Well, my sure, dad, you know, dad had an off year, what can I
say? It's, yeah, my mother's family, my mother's one of nine, and her mother was one of 18, and I'm one of the youngest grandchildren. But we'd have, we did our reunions on 4th of July weekend, so we'd have 300 kids there.
I can still remember the tables.
We'd wait to do the hayin' on 4th of July, and so all us little kids would run through the hay fields and toss in hay. And it was always a great deal when you could reach the pedal of the tractor. You got to drive that year.
But anyway, that brings me to the website, another website, which I've used before because I love to cook. And I guess, you know, again, it's from my grandma, the Butterball. It's www.butterball.com. You want to learn some?
I gotta say something. I'm sorry.
Uh-oh, here we go.
No.
Go ahead.
Steve, did you say you used to go play on a tractor? Is that what you said?
Yeah.
He's a farm boy.
Farm boy. went to the farm every year, yeah. As soon as you could reach the pedals, you got to drive. I had this one cousin that would throw the hay bales to the top of the tractor, but he was such a big guy, he'd often throw them over
the tractor. So back before the arthritis started up, I could play that.
Yeah.
I'm a banjo player.
Banjo player.
For years. But the arthritis is so bad now, I can't, you know, I can still play it, but it goes, don't, I just haven't got the speed anymore because of the arthritis. I used to play the banjo all the time. I did a show 100 years ago, and a guy in the band, he played the bass, upright bass, in the show. And I would get off stage every once in a while, and I'd pick up my banjo. And one day, just for the heck of it, I'm standing there with my banjo, and I hear behind me on the bass. Boom, 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 boom. So it went.
Deliverance.
So we did the whole theme from Deliverance, banjo and bass. Very funny.
Cool.
And we kept just getting faster and faster and faster until the end I yelled, I win.
Well, anyways, the Butterball site is definitely worth checking out. They've got a lot of unique recipes, different stuffings. If you're going to need help preparing your bird, a lot of folks don't know how long to get it out before. Because, I mean, you can get salmonella and everything else.
There was a great episode of The West Wing.
Cool, Rob.
Where President Bartlett was on the phone to Butterball arguing about the stuffing.
Yep.
Do you cook the stuffing in the turkey, or do you cook it outside the turkey and then put it in when you serve it? And you know, this, because of the sausages, you got to make sure it's cooked right. So the president of the United
States. Good.
You know, later that night, being able to do a cold turkey sandwich.
Sure, and get a little more tryptophan in your body before you go to sleep.
Hey,
absolutely.
Go to it.
And I do want to apologize to both Wayne and Vicky Knox for bringing that up in case they're listening. Wayne was the bass player. He's important now. He's an important guy, and so he probably doesn't want me bringing that up.
Well, it's like I was sitting there, I had to go to the doctor's because I had a sinus infection.
Sure.
And the folks over there go, I can't believe you told that story last week. I go, what? They go, Cheryl, who worked at the office, says, I was rolling, you know, with laughter because here I'm sitting there telling about that story about my brother and Santa Claus.
Right.
But, I mean, I got a lot of different ones like that that my parents told. You know, with six kids, what are you going
to
do?
Sure. With six kids, you got to do something to amuse yourself.
Yeah.
All right.
Turkeys are 19 cents a pound at the local giant supermarket superstore.
Yeah, they're
19 cents a pound.
It's
still coming at hundreds of dollars. Our next caller is Joe from Gates, New York. Welcome, Joe. What do you know?
How you doing, guys?
Good. How are you?
Not too bad. My question is, I'm running Windows XP Professional,
uh-huh,
and the automatic updates, after I download a set of them, install them, they come right back up again. The same updates.
The exact same number?
Yes.
Because there's a lot of similar updates with different numbers.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, as soon as I'm done downloading and installing them, they just came right away. They come right back up.
You might have to uninstall those.
Yeah. What was that bug? It was a bug we talked about last year where some of the updates get stuck and they don't know they're installed.
They don't. They haven't been updated. There was one original one that caused any thereafter to be messed up.
What you want to do is go into the control panel.
Okay.
And add remove programs. And down near the bottom of the list will be all of the hot fixes, and which are the updates. Just delete them all and let it reinstall them all. It's going to take you a while.
But they've corrected some of the ones that would corrupt.
Right. But in your particular case, and I'm not recommending this for everybody, but in your particular case, it sounds like the right thing to do.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, the Service Pack 2, I haven't installed that yet.
Yeah.
Because I missed the update. Now I can't find it.
Don't bother.
Don't bother?
Well, the first thing is don't bother. We don't think we are so far.
Wait to Service Pack 3.
There's a lot of things that need to be fixed in it. But the other thing is once you uninstall all of these and do another update,
right,
you'll probably get it.
Okay. All right.
Okay.
Now, are you on a network?
Thanks.
No, I'm not. Just a single PC.
All right. That's one thing. As a matter of fact, I had a client call just to let folks know. All right. Because there's a lot of confusion out there. If you're going to have a home computer, you don't need XP Professional.
Right.
You
save
can
yourself
save,
the money.
You basically, even though, like, even these big deals, you know, like these superstores and everything, oh, well, you get XP Professional. Ask for home. One, they should be able to lower the price because home is cheaper than XP Professional.
By about $100.
Yeah, and you don't need all those features because you're not on a corporate network.
If you're not running Windows Server, not peer-to-peer networking, but an actual Windows NT 2000 server
you don't need Professional.
Right.
And again, you can save yourself some bucks.
Right. Excellent point. Our next caller is John from Canandaigua, New York. Welcome, John. What's your question?
Well, thank you very much, fellas.
Thank you.
I have a Windows 98 system and an 8-year-old AST computer. I only have 40 megabytes of RAM. I tried to upgrade to 2005 Norton antivirus that said, see you around, we don't need you anymore, because you need 64 megabytes of
right.
RAM. They said you can get 2004 somewhere, but not with us, because we're not available on our website anymore.
Right.
But I don't know, in fact, that 2004 will be...
Any better
for if 40 megabytes of RAM is good enough.
It really isn't anymore. Not for anything produced in the last 5 years.
For Windows 98.
I mean, I hate to say this, but in terms of Windows computing... you've been left behind. 48 meg just isn't going to cut it anymore with anything.
Well, I only have 40 meg. Are there any antivirus serves that I
try AVG?
Yeah, but even so,
I was just looking at its requirements. It's the only thing you could do is find an old version, which then won't have the newest definitions in it.
There's no point in the old versions because they can't run the new stuff. Even AVG's
can you Grisoff add more
AVG.
Memory?
Pardon me?
Can you add more memory to that?
It's probably not worth it. The cost of the memory would be worth more than this whole system is.
Sometimes you can get.
I think I have as much as this particular home board or whatever you want to call it will accept. Does StopHackersNow.com have any use for me?
No, that's the full Zone Alarm security suite, and it alone will take up more than 40 mega RAM.
Okay.
I'm sorry. It hurts me. It harms my entire being to say this. But there really, truly is not much you can find for 40 meg RAM system anymore that's running Windows.
Yeah.
You know, there are a bunch of other things if you go to fdisk.com and what was the other one that we had, a couple old machines, that where you could run versions of DOS, free versions of DOS, with their own graphical front ends, but it's not Windows, and it doesn't run Windows programs.
It's the holidays, and you just might want to look at some of the great deals that are out there right now and treat yourself to a new computer. Both Dell and Gateway, not to pump either one of them, are offering fantastic deals. There's a number of companies here in
Even
Rochester.
Even used machines at places like the Computer Doctor and Computer Renaissance and all those other places.
Yeah.
We'll certainly have more RAM and a faster processor than what you've got
and
now.
If you, yeah, if you don't want to go the big bucks, you know, check those out too.
Sorry, John, there's just not much you can do with a 40-meg machine anymore. Just nobody's software will really run on it well. Our next caller, George from Rochester, New York. Welcome, George. What's your question?
Hi, guys. I've got Norton Internet Security, which has antivirus and firewall protection, and it's due for renewal soon.
Mm-hmm.
And I also use Roadrunner, which I understand has free antivirus and firewall protection. And I wonder, is there, first of all, is there any problems if I want to use both?
Yes.
Okay.
Pick one.
Pick one.
And I would stick with Norton. I've heard the armor. What is it? Easy Armor?
Easy Armor.
Has a few times not always caught viruses.
That's
and the same with even Norton. Believe it or not, we had a machine in the shop that had a virus on it. He had his updated files, but McAfee found it and Norton didn't.
Right.
A lot of times there's overlap between a virus will come out on Tuesday and the definition comes out on Wednesday. For that day, the virus will propagate.
You know, not for nothing, but here's this whole Zone Alarm security suite for $39.95, and you get a virus checker
and firewall,
a firewall, and a bunch of other stuff too.
Yep.
So there's too many options.
You know, but this deal is not, you know, it's not going to be forever. So maybe you want to stop at checkout stophackersnow.com and download that security suite.
So you're recommending before I renew Norton, maybe
check
look
out
at this,
others.
Look
check
at
out.
This Zone Alarm.
You got it.
Why not? Listen, we got to take a quick break. But we'll be back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray. Rob, we're keeping you on the straight and narrow, Linton. And me, Nick Francesco, on Soundbites on 1180 WHAM.
Spob is his longest-running computer show. Back to more Soundbites with Nick, Dave, and Steve on News Radio 1180 WHAM.
Welcome back. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
I'm Rob Linton.
You're who?
Steve Ray.
I thought you said I couldn't understand the word you said. Anyway, we're back with Sound Bites, and we're going to talk to Ron from Rochester, New York. Welcome, Ron. What's your question?
Yeah, hi, guys. How you doing?
Good. How are you?
Okay, I got a computer that has XP Home in it, and I've got a game called Need for Speed. It's okay with 98 on up.
Yeah.
And every time I try to install it, I get an error message saying it's not compatible with MS-DOS. Game, and yet it says on the box it's okay with 98, 200, 2000 XP, and just won't take. Any ideas?
You might, just like any of the games, what you might have to do is go to that particular game's website and see if they've got any patches or fixes. Because even though, you know, they try to get it out there and work, based upon all the different configurations, granted, you know, you could be saying, all right, I'm running XP Home, but it's also dependent upon the video cards that are on there, your processor, and everything else. They try to test it for all different types of processors, video cards, and yada, 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 but sometimes they run into problems, and that's why they have service pack updates or patches or fixes.
And it seems that you're not alone. There's a lot of stuff on the net about people having trouble with Need for Speed on XP.
So you might definitely want to check out their website and see if there's any help there.
You mean the game website?
You got it.
Yeah.
Go to them and see if they've got any patches or fixes.
Okay, it could be a driver or something like
could
that.
Be.
Very possible.
Yep.
Give it a shot.
Yep.
Thanks. Our next caller, Archie from Henrietta. Welcome, Archie. What's your question?
Thanks, guys. I got a digital camera that I've had for just a little while now and enjoying taking pictures with it. And I'm wondering, is there any way that I can create a slideshow, set it to music, and then play it on my DVD player?
You need DVD authoring software.
Yeah.
What platform are you running?
I got XP Professional.
Let's see. Microsoft Movie Maker will let you create the slideshow with a soundtrack, and then you need some sort of authoring software. It usually comes with the DVD recorders.
Yeah.
The actual DVD authoring software that converts it to the MPEG-2 and burns the DVD.
Is it a DVD burner that you have?
No, it's just a player.
Well, then you have to buy a DVD recorder to actually make a DVD, and it will likely come with the DVD authoring software.
Yeah. So then you'll need just two pieces of software. One is the Microsoft Movie Maker.
Okay.
And then the other one is the burning software. You create it in Movie Maker. You burn it with the burner software through the actual burner to a DVD, which you can then play on any DVD player, assuming it's a DVD minus R?
DVD minus R is the format you want.
Okay, minus R, you said.
Yep.
Okay, great. And that'll give me the audio and everything that I need.
Everything you need. But get a drive, though, that does both plus and minus.
Yeah, but you
want to burn in minus for compatibility with other players.
Yeah, plus is more convenient. Minus is more compatible. The latest drives are dual layer, so you can get up to 8 gigabytes on a single disk, so you can run a 2 or 3 hour movie if you really want to.
Right. So, right. But it's having the flexibility, because the way things are changing so much right now, having the plus and minus built in.
Having the multiple things is good. Just remember which one you need
to do any specific thing.
Yeah, if you're going to buy a burner, get one that's as versatile as possible.
As we mentioned earlier, we've got the fight between Blu-ray and HD DVD.
So the red laser.
Yeah, they're moving from red laser.
Red versus blue.
To blue laser.
I think we've had enough red versus blue for 1 year. I think we'll at least hold off till January. Listen, we're done for another week. I want to thank everybody who called in. I want to apologize to everyone to whom we did not get. Please visit us on our website at soundbites.org. So far, we've got over 100 votes on the system. And we'll see you next week with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Rob Linton, and me, Nick Francesco, on the greatest computer show in the known universe, Soundbites, on 1180 WHAM.
Plan your holiday travel.